It was safe and segregated with minor chemical spillage. Over the decades, the place grew and changed. Some 30 years later, this town got a train. This train brought a colored scientist of note, lured from a white college that would not promote. Victory was a chemist who had earned his name in synthesis, a tough but lucrative game. From the humblest beginnings, he started his climb. He washed out his beakers and bided his time. Till 1 year ago, he made a breakthrough. It was widely published. Now everyone knew the defender and courier were singing his praise. What a credit to the race with his upstanding ways. What a well-put wife. What great-looking kids. Black society buzzed with all that they did. Their son would shine throughout his life. Their daughter would make the perfect wife.
As the horse breeder cries, the bird fancier cries. As the animal breeder cries, the race cries. It takes several generations to breed a prize winner. The cry of the hour is a better breed of babies. Prepare for the future colored child. Thank you.
folks said Vic could make what the body needs with common vegetables and garden seeds. A modern day carver said the Amsterdam Blues. But though his name was known, job offers were few. Mr. Koenig, however, thought himself to have an open mind. He traveled, filming animals and tribes of all kinds. Koenig thought he had vision. He thought he had style. He thought he was worldly and local. All the while, who else would hire a Negro in such difficult times? He thought Vic smelled like money, so he gave them a try. Koenig welcomed Vic in an affirming voice. Said, look across the tracks, take the house of your choice. The colored community welcomed them with open arms. This eminent family, these grand Negro stars. Prominent men invited Vic to join clubs. Janitors from the plant took their hats at the club. The ladies' groups called out Gloria for lunch. The church auxiliaries sent flowers by the bunch. Vic worked for Coco, but decided to try to build his own lab at home on the side. His wife, Gloria, was a whiz at accounts, so she worked by his side, raking in big amounts. They raised their two children to follow their lead in marriage and money. They were bound to succeed. The eldest, Celeste, would be mother's clone. Her little brother would inherit daddy's throne. Yeah, their father's name. He was bratty and small. The second factory was what he was called. He would tease his sister about her strange style, and if their parents overheard, they would simply smile. In debutante training, Celeste practiced her vow. She had learned what form to use and when and how. To make her mind cheerful, to sew pretty dresses, to keep her eyes bright, and to iron her tresses, cross legs at the ankle. To speak in low tones, not to frown, not to grin. How to pinch her nose, how to make sure her lips would never hang low. How to make her charm and beauty grow. To sculpt her image, to be inviting and chaste. And to do all these things for the sake of the race. Celeste had no right for fulfilling her duty. But could anyone really fight oppression with beauty?
Must be kind eyes. Observing eyes. Thoughtful eyes. Remembering eyes. She has been given the place of backbone. Beautiful ways, powers and forces. Yes.
less was obedient. In meek, in private, she had an adventurous streak. If you found her at home, you would find her lost in borrowed animal films made by Victory's boss. She dreamed of a place where she too could be bold to become what she would with no rep to uphold. In her daydream, she gave herself a new name. Tyrande the Brave was the girl she became. When time came to perform as the young lady does, she told her folks she did not want white gloves. She did not want to be seen. She did not want to waltz. She did not want the prince and preen at the ball. Her mother and father said, "Now, don't be hasty. White gloves are the truest hallmarks of a lady. When you were a baby, we dreamt as you crawled, you would wear these white gloves to your debutante ball." To Rhonda said, "I don't like dainty dance floors, and I don't understand. What is all this fuss for?" Her parents replied, "There is purpose in glitz. The future is unknown. We can't say what it is, but some girls will suffer, and others will win. Don't choose to stay out when you've been welcomed in." Tyrande was sad, but she felt resigned to shape herself to her parents' design. With this,
the face is an index of interior troubles.
Remember
dream. The bulletin board of habitual thought.
Remember dream.
Everything is published on the face. Gestures, appetite, rough acts. Affect repose, not restlessness. Affect purity. That charm, that quietude. Control is culture.
Curls like her virtue were family possessions to be worn in pride at cotillion processions. The last auntie gave what Tyrande liked best, a mysterious wooden and striped hope checks. Aunt Eunice said, "Wait till the night of the dance to open this trunk." T was entranced. She opened it then, but found just the night. May your life match your dreams. May your deeds match your hopes. Now Richard was Tyrande's escort to the ball. He was the right kind of boy, and besides, he was tall. Everyone knew the young man was a future physician who summered at the vineyard with top politicians. His father was a judge. His cousin Monique was Tyrande's best friend who made her knees weak. Tyrande was ready to make her debut, wearing white head to toe. Her heart was still blue. She arrived at the ball to honor her station, but as night grew on, she felt transformation.
Thank you. Thank you.
His wife, Gloria, was a whiz at accounts. She worked by his side, raking in big amounts. Victory was a chemist who had earned his name in synthesis, a tough but lucrative game. Though in public, Celeste was obedient and meek. In private, she had an adventurous streak. If you found her at home, you would find her lost in borrowed animal films made by Victory's boss. I watch films of animals who live by their wits. No one to groom them for a life they don't fit. on screen, shark consumes a fish. Most of the sea, I drink the water. Grape and spice. Resigned to shape herself to her parents' design. wrestle. Problems are pop song. In glitz. The future is unknown. We can't say what it is. But some girls will suffer and others will win. Don't choose to stay out when you've been welcomed in. You star in a picture show, you have just the right way, you know just the right thing to say. Rowdy British kids, racist southern cops, or the love of Ivy. There's no lion out there you can't take. Somehow you wrap everything up into a perfect package. Every single thing you do turns out right. How do you do it? No other colored man alive to have his own way on the moon. He's free. Thank you. Every Thursday night, grace our TV screens with your tasteful sex. With your mother speaking legally. You protect and dismiss with your Lena Horne voice, your perfect syntax, your reign over the King's English and Portuguese. Somehow you wrap everything up into a perfect package. Every single thing you do turns out right. How do you do it? No other black lady alive gets to have her own way on the TV screen. How do you do it? How come only Sydney and Felicia get to have their own way up on the screen? Rhonda leapt out, wearing gloves and a frown. She ran and she roared to the edge of her town. Some say to the jungle, a proper world for a girl who's part tiger, or a tiger part girl. Thank you. crazy and naked. Even the baddest can trip. How does Tiger ever honor his stripes when all the rage is to tame them? It makes me wonder. He used to come through.
Double boutique games.